Well, today I'm going to do a topical study on emotional purity. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Guard your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." The fact that this proverb tells us to guard our heart implies that we could fail to guard our heart. We could let something in there that's inappropriate, that's not pure. And I'm convinced one way someone can fail is in their emotions and feelings by giving them in a deep and intimate way to someone who they don't belong. If you're married, a person can do that even if they're married, or a single person could fall into that. If you don't guard your heart in your relationships with the opposite gender, you can talk too deep and intimate and get emotionally attached and fused together. You could have a friendship with the opposite gender that progresses too far that is meant for marriage. That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about emotional purity. What does it look like to not be emotionally pure? In short, you could say it's unfaithfulness of the heart. Unfaithfulness of the heart. Sexual impurity is unfaithfulness of the body. Emotional impurity is unfaithfulness of the heart. So what we're talking about is purity of the heart. We're talking about guarding your heart in order to keep it pure. I don't know what's going on in y'all's hearts, but you do. We know when something can be impure. Okay, why talk about it? First, for the naive. A big reason I want to talk about this is that people would be aware. Many hear emotional purity or someone fell into emotional adultery and it doesn't mean anything to them. It just, they don't understand it. Some hear it and it strikes a nerve with them because they went through it. And I was one of those. I didn't know what it was till I fell into it. Then looking back, I could say, ah, I see, I didn't guard my heart. Something was impure there. Many people deny the seriousness of emotional purity, adultery, and affairs, but such affairs are not harmless and can destroy marriages and families. The simple reality is a lot of the physical adultery that happens, it first starts out with emotional impurity. When someone doesn't guard their heart, whether in the workplace or wherever, they start getting too deep in conversation with someone of the opposite gender, where they're giving their feelings to that person when it should be their spouse, and that emotional connection is fused, and that can lead to physical adultery. So this matters. I've talked to some about this. They said, "I wish I would have known about it before I fell into it," or "no one ever warned me about it." So what we're talking about is being aware of the great need to guard your heart. Second reason to talk about it is to be not naive to it. Sometimes, as a Christian, you feel pricked by the Spirit of God, but you feel cloudiness as to what is the Lord convicting me about? What is the Spirit convicting me about? And that's what happened to me. And when someone could put it in words, what was going on in my heart, it made sense. The light bulb went on, and now I was aware of what had happened, what was wrong in my own heart. So I want you to be aware, conscious, informed of the need to guard your heart and be emotionally pure for your present spouse or future spouse if you're single. Just to be clear, I'm not condemning emotional attachments. They are a beautiful thing in the context of marriage. I'm not saying go lock yourself away in a cave. I'm saying that men and women should watch how much they give their hearts and emotions in a relationship. So this is my outline. We're going to look at what is emotional purity, warning signs that one is not being emotionally pure, then how to avoid it if you're married, how to avoid it if you're single, and then some closing thoughts. So first, as we talk about purity, we need to talk about impurity. What is adultery? Well, in short, physical adultery is unfaithfulness of the body. Adultery is giving that which belongs to your spouse to someone who is not your spouse. But this can happen inwardly as well. In Ezekiel 23:35, he says, "You have forgotten me and cast me behind your back. With their idols they have committed adultery." So there's such a thing as spiritual adultery, where the heart is bowing down to something, and in a sense the heart is prostituting itself to an idol, to a person, to a thing. You could call it idolatry. It even says in Ezekiel 23:44, "They have gone into her as men go into a prostitute." So it's possible for your heart to be connected to something as an idol, and you're committing spiritual adultery with your relationship with the Lord. They gave their hearts to idols. You can fall into worshiping some idol and show it profound admiration instead. It says their heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Not faithful to God. We must not revere any person or thing in a way that is only meant for God. Now, we even know Christ's standard. We just talked about physical adultery being of the body. Emotional adultery or impurity could be of the heart being given to someone in a way that's not appropriate. And then Christ's standard in Matthew 5:28, he said, "Looking with lustful intent is adultery in the heart." Lustful intent. God knows your intentions. Some people, they come on Sunday to Fatty's intending to get a hamburger. And what they find is we're meeting here for church. They don't actually get the hamburger, but what was their intention? It was to get that. And so you may fall into lust where you intend to want to desire some person, but you don't get that. But the Lord says the fact you intended that, that's adultery in the heart. So adultery can be in the heart, it can be physical. And God knows our intentions. So what is emotional? It refers to the feelings of your heart, your invisible affections. Your emotions are strong feelings you have that are going towards someone or something. And let's look at Genesis 29:31. If you'd turn to Genesis 29:31. And I realize I've been giving some general things without tons of scriptural reference. And as I studied this out, you don't find the word emotional, at least I couldn't, in the Bible. But in this account, I think we get some light on it. In verse 31, "When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, He opened her womb. But Rachel was barren, and Leah conceived and bore a son. And she called his name Reuben, for she said, 'Because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me.' She conceived again and bore a son and said, 'Because the Lord has heard that I am hated, He has given me this son also.' And she called his name Simeon. Again she conceived and bore a son and said, 'Now this time my husband will be attached to me, because I have borne him three sons.' Therefore his name was called Levi, and she conceived again and bore a son." Now, we can conclude from the text, what she was not lacking was a sexual relationship. She had just conceived three sons. So when she says, "I long for my husband to love me, I long for my husband to be attached to me," it's not referring to the physical. It's referring to the heart. She longed for her husband, who loved his other wife, Rachel, and it says hated her. And she longed for that emotional attachment between her and her husband. And it wasn't there. And so we see this reality, a woman longing to be her husband to be attached to her. So that's what was being withheld. An attachment, an intimate relationship. You know, it says when you're married, you become one. Mind to mind, heart to heart, you're one with your spouse. So I ask you, you may rejoice that you're sexually pure and praise God, but are you emotionally pure? Where's your heart? Whether it's in your heart and its relations to physical things, and if you're idolizing anything, or your heart in relations to people. So, emotional impurity is unfaithfulness of the heart. More specifically, it happens when two people of the opposite gender begin talking of intimate struggles and feelings, then they may be sharing their heart and soul in a way that God intended exclusively for the marriage relationship. So, in short, emotional adultery is friendship with the opposite gender that has progressed too far. You got to hear that. It's too far because we need friendship with the opposite gender. You don't go to the extreme and hide in the cave, but in the midst of your relationships with other people, you're guarding your heart with vigilance. You're making sure that I'm not having an inordinate affection that's misplaced on a person. Are you aware of this and realize that it could happen even to you? It says, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Being aware of it allows you to guard your heart more and realize, wait a minute, I can be a little more reserved. I don't have to bare my all to this person who's not my wife because I may get emotionally fused with them and be more attracted to them than my spouse. And then my spouse is going to be like Leah. Why aren't you attached to me, James? So, progress too far. Well, how far is too far for a relationship to progress? Well, there's no rule. There's no law. I don't have a list of rules to give you today on things to do. I simply want you to be aware that there's a need to guard your heart in your relationships with people of the opposite gender because it's possible for them to progress too far to the point where the emotional attachment that belongs to the spouse is now given to someone else. No physical, just inward. Obviously, some don't need to guard their hearts more in the midst of the church. They need to be more open. They need to be more honest with brothers and sisters. And I'm not saying don't be transparent. I'm saying if you're too transparent and intimate in a conversation with someone of the opposite gender, you can become emotionally attached. Sharing deep intimacy with someone other than a spouse, whether physical or emotional, other than a spouse, it's a sin and a violation of trust. If my wife was taking our intimate conversations and taking that to another man other than me, that's a violation of trust. She's giving that which is mine in the context of marriage, and she's giving it to another person. So we've got to guard our hearts because you can be at a weak point in your life where you're vulnerable, and just like the match falling on the gasoline, the emotions just become fused in a moment. That's why guard your heart with all diligence. Because an emotional, which you could call it an affair, remains non-sexual, it is easy to rationalize and justify it. You can reason away guilt by saying, well, we're just friends, we're not touching each other, we're not doing anything wrong. Many people deny the seriousness of an emotional affair, but such affairs are not harmless and can destroy marriages and families. After one is emotionally attached, the physical passion burns and it can lead to greater sin. So let's look at warning signs. First, for everyone, what does your spiritual life look like? Just like every sin that we as Christians encounter, what does your spiritual life look like? Because if you neglect seeking God, any sin in the world could come your way. Just like I talked about last time, King David, man after God's own heart, slew Goliath. He ends up in adultery. He ends up in murder. Who would have thought that would have happened to him? Commonness and coldness with your relationship with Christ leads to sin. And realize it doesn't have to be, I've been cold for a month. You can be cold for 1 hour. And the crafty devil will have an opportune moment right there in that hour where he throws all the darts at you. Don't fall asleep while guarding your heart. Why am I talking about emotional purity, which is ultimately heart purity? Because I want you to be aware, I myself Many others I've known have went through it. It's not fun. It's miserable. It's grieving. It destroys. And being aware of the pit is the first step to not fall into it. And when I say into it, what again am I talking about? I'm talking about falling into a relationship with someone of the opposite gender where you share too much intimate, deep feelings with someone other than your spouse, and you're now giving your heart in a way that should be given to your spouse. You're now giving it to another individual. That's what we're talking about. Okay, warning signs for married people. Basically, cautions, things where you can ask yourself these questions. If you're married, are you nursing secret affection towards another who is not your spouse? Number two, do you find yourself sharing information, thoughts, or feelings that should have been kept between you and your spouse? Be careful if you find it easier to communicate with someone other than your spouse. Because if you can communicate better with someone other than your spouse, and they're putting their heart fully open in a moment of weakness, well, they're not meeting my needs. I'll go to this person to meet my needs. But you can't just hit Control Z on the keyboard and do undo. Rather, there's a deep ripping apart. Are you content in your marriage? Discontentment can lead to you getting attached to someone, again, who's easier to talk to than your spouse. Are you content? If you're emotionally attached to someone of the opposite gender other than your spouse, I mean, we're talking, you've got this attachment. They're not your spouse, you're married, and you're emotionally attached. Don't justify the rightness of it. Don't say, well, it's just no big deal. People, you know, you can say, well, surely it's God's will to talk openly and honestly. And yes, we should with our brothers and sisters, but there's a point where you go too far. And I don't have that point to tell you this is the point. That's why you've got to guard your heart so you yourself, a born-again child of God with the Holy Spirit, will know, okay, there's conviction here. The hand of God's heavy. I think I'm getting too far. Then red flags are going up. You've got the Spirit of God and you're able to pull back. So we're talking about signs of emotional impurity for those who are married. Do you have any hidden relationships from your spouse? Do you find yourself daydreaming or fantasizing about someone else? Is there someone outside of your spouse that you find yourself thinking, what would I do if I didn't have them? What would I do if I didn't have them? Does that thought ever go in your mind? And you may say, well, that's ridiculous. That could never happen. But the moment your spouse isn't meeting your needs, you get fused to someone else, you make an idol out of that person. And you just think, what would I do without them? I want you to be aware so you don't fall into it. Is there someone of the opposite gender that you're too excited to see? Again, it's not wrong to be excited to see people. But these are warning signs. You could think, wait a minute, why am I more excited to see this person than my spouse? If that's the case, that's an obvious given. Do you find yourself pulled towards someone else's tenderness, openness, warmth, personality, and attentiveness? We're talking about emotional impurity, which is when someone has unfaithfulness of the heart. And it happens when two people of the opposite gender begin talking of intimate struggles that God intended exclusively for the marriage relationship. Where you're one with your spouse. And please don't miss what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's wrong to fellowship with brothers and sisters. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that as you do, guard your heart because it's possible for a friendship to progress too far. Just guard your heart. Be aware, it's possible this could go too far, so I need to be careful. I need to be aware. Okay, what are warning signs for single people? Singles, above all, you're guarding your heart for the Lord, but also for your future spouse. Ask yourself, is someone of the opposite gender always going out of their way to talk to you? If you notice that, just be careful. Guard your heart. You don't know what's going on inside of their heart. You don't know what their motives are. And if you open up all of a sudden to them because you see they're giving you a lot of attention, bam, your hearts could be fused just in a moment. And hearts being fused, if you're going to marry a person, that's right. You need to have a heart fused together with your spouse. If you don't have that, there's a problem there. Again, I'm not saying that even that person may not be your future spouse. I'm saying guard your heart. Don't walk with an open and vulnerable heart, and the first person who shows you interest, you pour out yourself to them and emotionally get fused. Okay, we're talking about warning signs for singles and trying to be emotionally pure. In Proverbs 7:27, this is referring to the prostitute. It's interesting. It says, with much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. People can disguise conversations by being smooth and religious speaking. Proverbs 7:14, it says, she goes to the man and she says, I had to offer sacrifices. Today I've paid my vows. So now I have come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I have found you. Just because someone, if you're single, just because someone is eagerly seeking you and talking religious doesn't mean just open up your heart. Because even there, that's the way of the harlot, the way she talks. Guard your heart. They may indeed be genuine. They may indeed be God bringing you the spouse. But guard your heart. Have some reservation. Don't feel like right when they open up, I can just go throw everything at them, get emotionally attached in one quick Facebook conversation, one phone call, whatever it is. Guard your heart. And again, we can't guard our heart by having some incredible list of rules to prevent us from giving too much. The only way you can do it is walking by the Spirit every day as a Christian, putting to death the deeds of the flesh. Walking close to the Lord, and He'll love you and point you in a direction and convict you. It even says in that same proverb, let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Guard your heart. You know, if just a caution, if someone is shooting you signals, don't get overly excited about it because it seems like they think you're a marriage prospect. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your emotions. Guard your inner man. You know, this heart, sometimes I picture my own heart. It's like these strings just pop out of it and they start latching onto something and I'm being pulled in a direction. And you notice that inwardly. It's like this pull. Guard your heart. There's too much tension between me and this person, me and this object, me and this thing, whatever it may be. There's too much of a pull there. I need to be reserved. I need to step back. I need to guard my heart. This can happen if you're single. Can happen between a male and a female, no matter the age. A guy emailed me years ago. I'm going to read what he put. He said, I have become emotionally attached to a married woman and find myself in struggle with adultery from the time I rise to the time I go to bed. I did not flee from it and have fallen into a deep pit. I think about this woman all the time and not about Jesus Christ. I used to be so strong in the Lord, but now has fallen into this for over half a year now. I always think about how wonderful she is and how great the time with her is. This is a real person. I want to let go all pride and be delivered. This guy was 17. This person, this married woman he's referring to, was in her 60s. What happened here? They got too deep. Too deep. Remember Titus 2, women train the young women. Don't look to be discipled like that young man by someone of the opposite gender who's not your spouse. In him looking to be discipled by a woman, he got emotionally fused and he made her an idol. And he's laying on his bed with adulterous thoughts. There's no way he thought he would have ended up in that situation. But if you don't guard your heart, guess what? You don't know where you're going to end up. You don't know what could happen. Now, so you don't fall into any extreme. Paul said in Romans 16:13, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Paul called this person who's not his mother, she was a mother to him. So it's absolutely possible to have relationships with people of the opposite gender and they're completely pure. Mark 3:35, whoever does the will of God, he is my brother, my mother, my sister. All y'all here in Israel are closer to me than my own biological family who don't intimately know Christ, because we've got something in common with Christ. That's a beautiful thing. By this they'll know that we're real. How? That we love one another. We've got to love each other, but we've got to guard our hearts, because we will fool ourselves if we think it's impossible that I can't go too far. Even if you're 17 and someone's in their 60s. The question is there purity in your conversation? Or is something that belongs to your spouse being given to someone who's not your spouse? And you know, you can have a weak point in a moment. It can happen. It can happen with a coworker, happen with anyone, happen with someone here. Now, don't be thinking that opening up to someone is impure in itself. It's not. But if your heart is not guarded, you can give your emotional attachment that belongs to your spouse to someone else. You see, don't go to the extreme. Just guard your heart. And then you'll be pricked by the Spirit, I trust. Okay, ways to avoid emotional impurity. We're going to talk about some practical wisdom on guarding your heart in order to not be unfaithful to your current spouse if you're married, or if you're single, to not be unfaithful to your future spouse. How to avoid emotional impurity for married couples. Number one, have intimacy with your spouse just as you do with Christ. If you're going to keep your relationship with Christ alive, how do you do it? By neglecting communication? Wrong. By having communication on a day-by-day, even hour-by-hour basis with Christ. And then you don't get lukewarm. The affections are hot for Christ. The same principle in the marriage relationship. Constantly communicating with my wife. Being open, being honest with my wife. And as I do that, my heart's guarded. Just by doing what I should, I guard my heart from falling into what I should not fall into. Christ never quits showing affection towards us. Don't quit showing affection to your wife, even 40 years later. Christ is sensitive to us. Be so to your spouse. Another practical thing, if you're married, determine in your own heart to only get in deep, intimate talks about your struggles with your wife or husband who you're one with. Just make some determination. I'm going to go first, foremost, to my spouse. I'm being open. I'm being honest with them. I mean, think about it. You hear my spouse, they've went and they're really, really open to these other people about certain things, and they haven't even mentioned that to me at all. First, I have to ask myself, maybe I'm failing as a husband, and they didn't feel like they could come to me and be open with me. So that's why she went to someone else. So again, if I'm doing my job as a husband, being open, being communicative, being honest, being transparent with my spouse, then she'll feel like, hey, I can come be completely honest with James in intimate conversation. And that's a guard where your wife, the weaker vessel, may not fall into this. Ask your wife, is there anything on your mind? Have I offended you in any way? Just have real communication. I mean, there's times I've asked my wife, did I offend you in any way at breakfast? And she may just start crying. And I thank God for that, that we're able to communicate. And it's over the smallest things sometimes. But if you let those small things pile up, there's going to be distance created in the marital relationship. And before you know it, someone could be vulnerable when Prince Charming comes along, even though you're married, and he's so attentive to all of your emotions, and then you open up and bam, emotionally attached. Just like that. Another thing, if you're married, initiate prayer with your wife. Initiate confession of sin. Plan your lives together. You're one, not two. You're one. Another thing, husbands, don't take her for granted. If you start taking her for granted, someone else could walk into her life and catch her at a weak point. Even think of in Genesis 29, Leah, she was not having her emotional needs met by her husband Jacob. Some guy could have come along, met all those emotional needs, and bam, adultery would have happened. Seek to avoid commonness, coldness, and loss of affection. First and foremost, whether single or married, with Christ. Don't lose affection for Him. And then you'll be good in these other areas. Remember, it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that you can live this out. We're talking about ways to avoid being unfaithful in your heart. Okay, something else. Practical, if you're married, it would be advised that if you need to meet with a woman to counsel her, have your wife in the meeting. In Acts 18:26, Priscilla and Aquila heard of Apollos. They took him aside. It wasn't just the wife. It was both of them. They took him aside. Randy Alcorn, a pastor, said this: when meeting one woman for our third counseling appointment, in what seemed like just a moment, I realized that she was inappropriately interested in me. What was frightening is that I also realized I had subconsciously sensed this before, but had enjoyed her attraction to me too much to address the problem. And who's to say I hadn't sent off signals of my own? Certainly I hadn't said anything to discourage her signals. Since I was not yet emotionally involved or giving her inappropriate attention, I was tempted to rationalize and dismiss it as unimportant, knowing, of course, that I would never get involved with her. Famous last words, since every affair begins with the harmless. When the light cut through my clouded thinking and I realized that there was no way I should be meeting with her, I sent her to a female counselor. God knows, and I do not want to, what might have happened if I'd allowed the situation to continue unchecked. Again, guard your heart. If you're a brother and you're giving counsel, even to a sister, you can tell if something's inappropriate. And most of the times, nothing is inappropriate. But just like this brother in a counseling setting, one-on-one, he recognized something's not right. But then he tried to rationalize, and it's no big deal. And he realized, whoa, where would that have ended up? Live transparently if you're married. Do everything as if your spouse is present. And remember, God's present. Maintain a pure thought life. If you're married, one brother told me, flirt with your wife. Keep the fire going. Okay, we're talking about some things to do in order to avoid emotionally being unfaithful in your heart toward your spouse. That's what we're talking about. I had other things in that section. Ultimately, live out Ephesians 5:25. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. If you're doing that, if that's before you, if you're cherishing her, nourishing her, not letting someone else come in and cherish and nourish her, if you're doing that on a day-by-day basis, that's a good guard. It's going to keep you from going too far with another individual in your emotions. Okay, practical ways for singles to avoid emotional impurity. Again, I realize it's not like we've got a whole lot of scriptures that are giving us some practical wisdom on what to do. My main thing is be aware it can happen. An emotional attachment that's wrong can happen. Be aware of it and then guard your heart. Okay, Proverbs 31:11. The heart of her husband trusts in her and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. All. Even if you're single, you want to do your husband good all the days of your life. You may never get married. You don't know who you're going to marry. But right now, all the days of your life doesn't just refer to when you're married. All the days of your life refers to when you're single. So you want the heart of your husband, who you don't have a clue who it is, you want him to trust you. You want to be a good steward of your heart right now in the present. You want to guard it. Now, remember, there is such a thing as a healthy awakening of God-given interest and desires. So don't despise all of those. Don't say, well, I feel some pull, some attraction toward another single. That's sin. I better get rid of that. Who says that's sin? Guard your heart. Now, it could become something if you don't guard your heart. We can make an idol out of anything. So again, the rule is guard your heart. I realize, though, if you struggle in this area, don't be afraid to maybe go to an extreme where, yeah, you're not talking as much to single sisters because you realize it's so easy for me to get emotionally fused together. Again, those feelings of attraction are not wrong. It's what someone does with those feelings. What do you do with those feelings? Again, if you go home and just fantasize about it and daydream about it, you're falling into something. And just to be clear, again, I'm not putting forward you can't have friendships with the opposite gender. I am putting forward guard your heart in the midst of all friendships and relationships, which obviously we all know that. But be aware that it is possible for you to be too intimate with someone who's not your spouse, get emotionally attached, and fall into sin. People always ask how to find a spouse. Well, go about doing it while you guard your heart. Be devoted to guarding your heart. Not devoted to a system, not devoted to a method. Because in any method, in any system that man creates, you could not guard your heart and you could fall into this either way. And so don't have my confidence as, well, I'm doing courtship. My confidence is I'm doing this. You can do anything and end up not guarding your heart. So that's your focus. I'm going to guard my heart. As many brothers have said, it's advised to not be too open and get emotionally intimate with the person until there's a real commitment for marriage. That's something to consider. If you're single, if there's no real commitment for marriage, or we're just playing, there's something real, just guard your heart. It is true that past emotional romantic memories from other relationships, they can hinder in some way future marriage or thought life, things like that. Thankfully, though, God uses our failures and brokenness to purify us. But this does not mean we just go out there loose as anything saying, oh, I just don't need to guard my heart. Now, I fell into this in the past. And this is the thing. I don't stand here today with guilt. I stand here today with regret. I regret my carelessness. I have regret. If you're a Christian and you've fallen into emotional impurity in the past, you're not to live a life full of guilt. Well, I can't believe I did that. Have regret. But don't run around with condemnation. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We're talking about practical ways for singles to avoid emotional impurity. A big thing, get godly counsel before you let emotions ignite. Clint Leiter said, Samson failed in his marriage in that he didn't seek counsel ahead of time. In other words, it would be advisable. Now again, we're saying advisable. Clint said advisable. Why? We can't be too dogmatic on certain things. But this is something to consider. For any young man or woman, if they had interest in the opposite sex, it'd be advisable before they allow that relationship to start to seek counsel. That's the time to seek counsel, not once it gets going, because once it gets going, it snowballs and it's like a runaway train. Now there's emotions involved and it's hard to backtrack. So the time to seek counsel is at the very start. Charles Leiter told me once, he's like, it's amazing how many singles won't listen to his marital counsel or his counsel. They're not married yet. And it's because they've already determined this is how it's going to be. Even me, when I felt like pursuing marriage, I had pulls towards two people. And I procrastinated on going to Tim because I knew what Tim was going to say. I knew he was going to point me in the direction of Bethany Jennings. Yet I had something wasn't right in my heart. I couldn't really put a hand on it. But when I went to Tim and I mentioned to him, well, I feel a pull towards this person and this person, instantly he said, well, why do you feel a pull towards that person? And then Tim said, give me your reasons. And I gave my reasons and I thought they were spiritual. And Tim's like, none of that was even spiritual. I did not want to come with the grips of the reality of who God was wanting me to marry because I had some sinful carnal desire in my heart. Get counsel. It's really helpful. If you're too scared to get counsel, then probably something's not right. If you want to hide something. Thank God for godly counselors. Above all, keep your heart warm for Christ if you're single. Take refuge in intimacy with the Lord. Psalms 118:8 says it's better to take refuge in God than to trust in man. Whether married, whether single, your main refuge has got to be Christ. It's got to be an intimate relationship with the living God. Another thing for singles, don't take emotional impurity lightly. If you say, well, this is ridiculous, this is no big deal, I encourage you that if you had went through this, you would not be taking it lightly. Leah said to Rachel, who they were both, because of polygamy, married to the same man, but she said to Rachel, she said, is it a small matter that you have taken away my husband? Is it a small matter? Not sexually was she talking about, emotionally. Her husband had all this love for his other wife. The last thing you want is your own spouse to say that, because it's not a small matter, it's a big deal. Again, Clint Leiter said, these little infatuations that start and these emotional attachments in relationships, they're not small things. We might view them as that. You know, society calls it puppy love. And it's not that way. It starts that way. And it's not innocent. It snowballs. It becomes a runaway train. It becomes a forest fire with one match, right? And it's so dangerous. Again, I just want to read another thing from Clint. We did a video on I'll Be Honest called Samson's Failed Marriage. And I just felt things he said were so helpful. He said, when it comes to emotional attachments, it seems to me that that's the very beginning. We send signals to the opposite gender that they may or may not be interpreted rightly. And then signals are returned back to the other person. And before you know it, there's a relationship building there that is not necessarily founded on lust, but it has opened the door to it. And an emotional attachment still involves a giving of your heart in some way to that person. And a giving of your heart to someone of the opposite sex needs to be reserved for a husband and wife, not pieces along the way on the trail, so to speak, when we finally wind up married. Again, you know what's going on in your own heart. Guard your heart. Practical things for singles. I mean, just consider, you know what things you may do. Even I was talking to my wife about this, just this amazing. When we were single, some things we would do maybe to manipulate situations before I knew her. It says, one thing is don't linger after a meeting hoping to be noticed by that certain person. Don't go out of your way to shoot signals. If another person starts sharing something that is going too deep, even if they disguise it as a prayer request, redirect or end the conversation. You can do this graciously. If you feel like, whoa, they're just opening up on me, be gracious. Change conversation. Redirect it. And there's a point, some person, they don't go here anymore, or they just visited. I evangelized to them. I cared for their soul. I preached the gospel. They're a woman. Well, they started coming for the next 4 weeks. Right when they'd walk in the door, they'd always go right back to me. They'd always talk, well, do you have another DVD? It's like I was very uncomfortable. I could tell something's not right here. She's way too interested in me. Don't be manipulative and force something. If you're single, stay away from using the friends only excuse. And again, don't lead anyone on if you have no intentions of marrying them. Mac Tomlinson pointed out to me an insight in Ruth. In Ruth 2:8, Boaz tells Ruth, keep close to my young women. Then in 2:21, while giving a report to Naomi, Ruth said that Boaz said, keep close to my young men. So Boaz said, keep close to the young women. She goes to give a report. She says, he said, keep close to the young men. And then Naomi, in wisdom, says to Ruth, go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted. So obviously, if your sister doesn't, again, not saying don't have interaction with the brothers, just saying guard your heart. And it seems like it could be wise to make sure your main place of interaction in the context of the local church is with the sisters. That's the main thrust of it. Not the only, but the main place. Younger women, older women teaching the younger women. Again, I'm not saying don't have any interaction with someone of the opposite gender. But if you cannot guard your heart, then be careful. If for some reason you find yourself, as if you're single, in a compromising situation with someone of the opposite gender, immediately and physically remove yourself from that situation. You don't have to explain to them, because guess what? If you start explaining to them, now you're getting even more intimate and deep in your conversation. Because now you're expressing, well, you know what was going on? I was getting too emotionally involved with you. Well, now you just made your conversation that was here even deeper. So don't feel like I've got to explain. Just be gracious in the way you guard your heart and deal with brothers and sisters if you're single. In desiring to guard your heart, you may need to understand that this may require a change in your lifestyle and comfort level. I'm not here to tell you what that looks like. I'm just saying consider that. Maybe I'm too loose in a certain area in my relationship with those of the opposite gender, and I find myself getting emotionally fused from one guy to another, or a guy, one girl to another girl, and I need to guard my heart. If you got time on your hands and you're single, don't just get on Facebook and randomly start chatting. You wouldn't believe how many people I've met who have said, yes, the place I got first emotionally attached was chatting on the internet. Just opening up, pouring the heart out. Better to pour our heart out to God in prayer and say, God, I want a spouse. Lead me on. Charles Leiter told me when I was single, he said, be like Adam and go to sleep. God brought Adam a wife. Bob said, the faithful way is to trust God to reserve him or for you. Put first things first. Get education finished. Vocation settled. Love can wait. Lust can't. One good way to get to know boys and girls is by talking in a neutral way in the church setting without obviously pursuing the other. We're talking about ways for singles to guard their heart and remain emotionally pure. Again, there's no list of rules that can be given in order to be emotionally pure. Rather, one must walk by the Holy Spirit and day by day be content in Christ. Then the Lord will give you insight and wisdom in your decisions. One thing Charles Leiter had told me, he said, if you're fully surrendered to God, you cannot make a wrong move. That was very comforting because I thought, okay, if I'm just fully surrendered, the Lord's not going to let me make a wrong move in the area of relationships, in the area of getting too close. If you're single, giving something away to someone who's not your spouse. So just be fully surrendered to the Lord. It's not that one is fully surrendered to any method of finding a spouse. Again, be fully surrendered to the Lord. That's the method. I'm fully surrendered to you, Lord. I will follow, yes, basic principles, abundance of counselors, their safety, guarding my heart. I'll follow those principles. I'm trusting you, the living God. Okay, what am I not saying? I'm not saying that singles cannot have interaction with other singles. I just want to be clear on that. Because I know, specifically in the past, I've been going to some extremes. And I'm not here to tell you today, get scared of going and talking to people of the opposite gender. I'm here to tell you, in the midst of doing that, just guard your heart. And you know what's going on in your heart. You know when you're getting too intimate in your conversation, where you're starting to feel such a pull towards them, and every time you come to the church meeting, you're just thinking, where's that person out? I want to go interact with that person. I'm not saying that we're not to have warm fellowship with one another. Because if we don't have warm fellowship with one another, then we've got sin. As Matt Tomlinson said at the conference, it's a sin to not give your brother a warm greeting. I forget how he worded it, but something along those lines. What am I saying? I'm saying the Bible says guard your heart. I'm saying that if you go too deep and intimate in a conversation, you could find yourself falling into emotional impurity. And that's the real thrust of this. My burden today is that you would be aware that in my relationship with those of the opposite gender, whether single, whether married, it is possible in the midst of communicating to go to too deep of a level where I now give an emotional attachment to someone who is not my present spouse. And by doing that, I am being emotionally impure. I am, in a way, giving my emotions to another man, to another woman, and I'm committing emotional adultery. And he who commits adultery lacks sense. It destroys himself. That's why we're saying guard your heart. You don't want to end up on that path. And if you guard your heart, you watch out for the pit. You cannot fall into it. an emotional affair, as the world calls it, of the heart can destroy a marriage even though the relationship never becomes physical. And again, if we think, well, this is ridiculous, it's not. You can just go Google the title emotional affair and you'll find it's a major issue. It's not some small thing. And that's why, here, I've only been married to my wife for a year. And I'm just continually reminded that I studied this. I better not get cold, not get common, with Christ above all, but with my wife. I better keep the communication open. I better be transparent. I better nourish her. Well, in closing, the Lord can bind up broken hearts. Psalms 147:3, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Yes, have regret, but don't live in guilt. The Lord can heal the emotionally sick. Look, if you've fallen into this, it's like you've got a cut. The way to get cuts to heal is not to look at it, pick at it, it's to put a bandage on it and to leave it and let it rest. And so God, help us to do that. Well, my last thought, do you have an emotional attachment with Jesus Christ? Do you have an emotional attachment with Jesus Christ? Is He the lover of your soul? Feel all those things in your heart pulling you towards Christ. Because in Matthew 7:21-23, He says, on that day many will say, and list some works there. So they boast in their works. They said, I did this or that. And you know, it's interesting what the Lord says to them. He says, I never knew you. I never had intimacy with you. I never had an emotional, some bonding of the heart with you. And He says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. The beauty of Christianity is that eternal life is to know Jesus Christ, is to know God, is to have intimacy with Him. And if you do that, if you've got that, you're going to be able to guard your heart from all sin, no matter what shape, no matter what size, no matter what form. Let's pray. Father, just pray You'd help us to guard our hearts. Lord, would You do that? As Psalms 139 says, You know our ways. You know our thoughts. You know our emails. You know it all. Pray, O God, You'd search our hearts. You'd try our ways and see if there be any grievous way in us and lead us in the way everlasting. Lord, You've got to lead us. We're protect our defenseless heads from sin. Please, Lord, lead us. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.